This will be our second to last year as we are trying our best to go through the Bidei Kahuna. Tonight we're speaking about the Choshen and the Urim V'Tum. Let me, as we Bederach Kol try to do in these Yerim, let me first do my best to describe the overall structure, how it was constructed, the Choshen and the Urim V'Tumim. Afterwards, we'll try and give a little bit of lamdas and an important machlokas. And this week, I think some of the lamdas, like we saw last week a little bit, actually emerges from machlokas about the actual structure, which is something which is really beautiful and something which is very, very nice. The Choshen and the Urim V'Tumim, so the Choshen is the breastplate. That was what the Kohen Gadol would wear. It's one of the Bidei Kahuna unique to the Kohen Gadol. And he would wear that on his chest. We spoke about last week a little bit, though we're not unfortunately going to be able to speak about those a couple of psukim. The Choshen was attached to the ephod. The ephod was last week's baguette. That was the garment that was maybe more like a skirt on some level, at least from behind, and that had shoulder straps that went over. We would attach the Choshen to the ephod. I wanted to tell you, I think, maybe three or four main things about the construction of the Choshen and how exactly it looked. Number one, as far as the materials used, so the Torah teaches us, V'yasisa Choshen mishpan maisa Choshev, kimase efo ta'asenu. The actual material used for most of the Choshen was the same material that was used for the ephod itself. It makes a lot of sense as they were on some level very much connected. Zahav tcheles argaman solas shani sheis mashar ta'ase osa. So a variety of materials, most of them wool materials dyed in different colors with a little bit of zahav that was put through. And that is the, again, a mixture of all of those things. That is the main part of the Choshen. What was the size of the Choshen? So the Torah tells as follows, Ravua yihyeh kaful zeres arko v'zeres rachbo. It was a zeres long and a zeres wide. How big is a zeres? The Rambam maintains, and I think this is the more standard view, I believe it's according to Michas Chinuch, that a zeres is half an amma. So it was half an amma long and half an amma wide. Tosfos in Eirvin and Daf Chaf Aleph quotes a daya that really it's a third of an amma, and the Targum Yerushalmi quotes a daya, obviously much smaller, is actually the size of a tefach. But I think Bederach Kol we assume it was half an amma. Now, the way that many of the Rishonim understand it, it's in Rashi, the Rashbam, and others, it actually wasn't a zeres by a zeres. It actually started as a zeres wide and two zereses long, and we actually folded it over. So the zeres by a zeres was the final completion. When you initially sort of like made it, it was two zereses long and one zeres wide, but you would fold over in half in order to make it one zeres by one zeres. That was the size of it. Next, third thing. In the middle of the Choshen were the Avnei Miluim. On the ephod, if you remember from last week, on the shoulder straps were the Avnei Shoham. Those were two stones, and each one of the stones had the names of six of the Shvatim. The Choshen has 12 stones on it. 12 stones on it. There are, I'm going to point out, I think, three machloksim about the stones that were found on the Choshen, as far as how they were built. The Shita of the Chizkuni, so there are 12 stones. The Shita of the Chizkuni is that the first row had three stones. It was three stones horizontally of four rows vertically. So it was three on the top level, three on the second level, three on the third level, and three on the fourth level. This picture right here, if you are so inclined. The Minchas Chinuch, however, maintains that it wasn't three across of four rows down, rather it was four stones across on the top level of three rows down. That's a Minchas Chinuch and Mitzvah Tzadi Tes. It was four stones across of three rows down. Let's keep on going. On the stones were the names of the Shvatim. The names of the Shvatim. We have Machloksim in the Rishonim, the order of those names on the Shvatim. Rashi maintained the order of names on the Shvatim. It was on birth order. Ruvain, Shimon, Levi, Bechule. It was all done by birth order. However, the Targum Yerushalmi and the Chizkuni maintain it was not done by a pure birth order. It was done by Seder Ha'imahos. First, all of Leah's children, and again, going through all that, and finally, by the end, it was all of Rachel's children. or not Olaf, it was only two, of Rachel's children. So there, according to Rashi, it was done entirely by age, by order of birth. According to the Targum Yerushalmi, it was done by first of Leah's children, v'chulei, v'chulei. Third thing about these stones that are found on the Choshen. So we have one machlokas, is it 3 by 4 or 4 by 3? Your second machlokas, the order of the shvatim that were on these different stones. The third machlokas about the stones themselves, there were some additional things written on the stones aside from the names of the shvatim. The Gemara in Yuma, Daf Ayin Gimel tells us the names of the avos were written on the shvatim, Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Within that, you have machloksim in the Rishonim. How were Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov written on the stones? According to the Rambam, the first stone just said Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, along with Reuven. According to Chizkuni, Avram was really divided up. That the first stone was Reuven with an aleph for Avram. The second stone was Shimon with a bays, the bays of Avram. And then the Levi had the rest of Raham. So according to the Rambam, Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov were all on the first stone. According to the Avos, according to the Chizkuni, each of the stones had a portion of the names of the Avos. The Gemara also tells us there in Yuma, it said something else. According to our Gemara's Girsa, aside from the names of the Avos, it also said, Shiftei Yeshurun, the Shvatim of Klal Yisrael. According, this is the Rishonim also of Machlokas, how it says Shiftei Yeshurun. According to the Chizkuni, who says it's divided up, the names of the Avos, this was also divided up. So over all the 12 stones, Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, Shiftei Yeshurun was divided up. So if you look here at the end, it's on the third level, God, it says Shiftei, and then it's Yud Shin Reish, and there, Vav Nun in the middle, it's all divided up according to the, except for Binyamin at the end, it's pretty much all divided up, the names. According to the Rambam, just like the first stone says Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, according to the Rambam, the last stone is where that line is found. However, for the Rambam, the way some Achronim explained it, this we showed him, it seems to be the Rambam's gear to the Gemara, instead of saying Shiftei Yeshurun, in the bottom left stone, it said Shiftei Ka. Shiftei Ka in the bottom left stone. Akan, a lot of the points about the construction. Let's just go through it one more time very quickly so we can be as clear as possible. It was made of the same material as the Ephod, Zahav, Tcheilas, Argaman, Vechule. The size of it was a zeris by a zeris, but initially it was really two zerises down. It was just folded over, according to most we've shown it. There are 12 stones found in the middle. How the 12 stones are, if it's 4 by 3 or 3 by 4, the order of the Shvatim for Rashi, it's all done based on the order of the birth. According to the Chizkuni, it was done by the order of the Imahos, the birth of the Imahos. Not the birth, but by the Imahos is having children. According to, and then we have our last question. It says the Gemara tells Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov and Shiftei Yeshurun, maybe Shiftei Ka. For Chizkuni, that's really spread out through most of the stones. According to the Rambam, it's Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov on the first stone, Shiftei Yeshurun on the bottom left. Ad Kan, a lot of that. Let's now move on to talk about the Urim V'Tumim. Talk about the Urim V'Tumim. We're going to do the following. That's the first section. The second section of Shirin Urim V'Tumim. The first thing we're going to do is to try and define clearly what exactly the Urim V'Tumim is. What is the Urim V'Tumim? Or what are the Urim V'Tumim, potentially? I guess that may even be in my focus. It should be is or are. The next thing, after we speak about what it is, we're going to try to develop, based on that, to explain a couple different machloksim in terms of the nature of the Urim Bitumim. In general, just to understand, the Urim Bitumim were, it's pretty clear in Chazal, whatever they are is less clear in Chumash, but the Urim Bitumim were used, we would ask certain questions. Exactly which questions is not at all for now. Whether it was a mitzvah or an isser not to ask, the status of asking is not a discussion for now. Discussion some of them only have mitzvos. But that is in and of itself, again, the Urim V'Tumim asked certain questions. How would the Urim V'Tumim give us answers? So the simple pshat, not so clear for everyone, simple pshat, probably is pretty clear, is that the letters that were on the stones would light up in different places, and that's how a person would get their answer. I'll just point out also that there is some discussion as far as how you compare the status of the Urim V'Tumim and Nevuah, in terms of which is a greater form of divine revelation. We're not learning the Sugya of Nevuah. We had a shiur on Shabbos once this year. We spoke about Nevuah and the thought of Rabbi Yehuda Levi and the Rambam. I'll just point out one thing as a basic ha'ara. The Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim just describes, and it's important to know this a little bit about Nevuah, that there are many different dargas of Nevuah. Ruach HaKodesh is a certain darga, different dargas of Nevuah. And part of the question becomes, as far as where does Urim V'Tumim fall out on there? And according to, again, different Rishonim and Achronim, it's somewhere sort of in between. On the one hand, it seems to be somewhat lower than, at least for some of the Rishonim, than Nevuah. On the other hand, the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Ein Gimel, points out that it does have one advantage over Nevuah. Nevuah, at times, you can be chozer on. Nevuah, sometimes, certain Nevuahs can be taken away or can be changed. That's a discussion if you want in the Rambam Chag Dominic Peres Mishnah, for those that are familiar with that a little bit. In the Urim V'Tumim does not go back. Nothing can change what is established by the Urim V'Tumim, and therefore its general relationship between Nevuah and that's less clear. What exactly is the Urim V'Tumim? So the dominant approach, and it is possible this is the approach of everyone in terms of Rishonim, is possible, this is what Rashi writes explicitly, what the Rashbam, I believe, has, what the Ramban writes in his Peres HaTorah. The Urim V'Tumim is actually a piece of paper. And the piece of paper has written down in the Shem HaMeforash. I remember how the Choshen was folded over. It was two zerises that we folded over. It was made like a kiss, says the Rashbam, like a pouch, I think would be the word. And we put the Urim V'Tumim, which was paper with the Shem HaMeforash written on it. We put that inside the Choshen, would be the Shem HaMeforash. Which Shem HaMeforash was it? Those of us that remember in this exact location on Yom Kippur night, we spoke about how the Hishtachavaya, Machokos HaRishonim, the Sugyas Misachas Yuma, that the Hishtachavaya that we do in Hayashomim, Shem HaMeforash, on Yom Kippur. So sometimes there are machloks that ask what exactly the Shem HaMeforash is. So I'll just give you three shitas in terms of what would be found inside the Urim V'Tumim. The simple pshat, for Rashi, Rashi seems to think it's not Mefurash in his Perish Alha. In his Perish Al HaTorah, but they point out, at least in my edition of Rashi here, that Rashi in, one second, I'll get you the exact Mar Makom. One second, I apologize for the delay. Rashi writes, if not, I'm just going to go on, that it was a shame of 42 letters. The Urim V'Tumim was a shame of 42 letters. Where exactly does Rashi? Where's Pasuk Urim V'Tumim? Right here, Pasuk Lamed. Rashi there. They quote from. Second. Rashi Sanhedrin, Daf Samach Med Aleph. Right, Shem HaMeforash was a shame of 42 letters. The Baha Turim is clear here. It's actually a shame of 72 letters. The shame of 72 letters. The Ramban in this Perish Al HaTorah has interesting pshat about the Urim V'Tumim. The Ramban points out there's not that much written about in the Psukim. There's no that really, we don't have a direct sivoy as much to make the Urim V'Tumim related somewhat abnormal. The Ramban writes that the Urim V'Tumim was actually made by Moshe Rabbeinu. Heim sod maser l'moshe mipi ha'gvura v'uksavim b'kdusha o'shahayim maisa shamayim. The Ramban is done. This is not a normal part of the Begad that everyone else made. This is part of the Begad that was made in a unique way. Either it was a sod given to Moshe Rabbeinu, or it was Maisa Shamayim that it was made. Some of that is really Machloksim in Rishonim. The Ramban goes on to say, so what was in it? So the Ramban writes, Va'inyan huki hayu Shemos Kedoshim. Inside were Shemos Kedoshim. Doesn't sound like it was the 142 or the 72 letter name. They point it here, listen, my edition of the Ramban, in the Ozvah Hadar edition, it's a safer Torah or rites, that Kanirek, according to the Ramban, there were both the Shame 42 and the Shame 72. They were both there, found inside the Urim V'Tumim. That's according to Rashi, the Ramban, and many others, the Shame of a Furrush written inside. However, some Achronim point out, this is found in the Sefer HaKsav V'HaKabbalah, a very important Sefer Al HaTorah. He points out here in Parshat Tzaveh, that if you look at the Rambam closely, and the Mekeves HaMishnah, the Rambam also points this out, the Rambam never mentions anything about Shem HaMeforash going in. He discusses the construction, Helchos Klei HaMikdash, the construction of the Bedik Kehuna. He finds that very strange. He suggests, it's also just point out, in the Pesukim themselves, it says nothing really about Shem HaMeforash being put in. They therefore suggest that the Urim V'Tumim is not the Shem HaMeforash found in there, but says the Ksav HaKabbalah for the Rambam, the Urim V'Tumim is the stones. The stones on the Choshen. That is the Urim V'Tumim. a Yesoda stick are very important machlokes we've shown him. What is the Urim Bitumim? Or if you're a Ramban person, maybe it's what are the Urim Bitumim? Is it one piece of paper with a name? Is it multiple names on there? Or is it the stones themselves? One, two, and three. Let's go on for a little bit. L'chora, there are two very important machlokes that emerge from this. The first is the following. Let's get a little bit of background. There are a variety of distinctions between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni. Distinctions between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni. Those of us that were in the Shiurim last year in the Klei HaMikdash, so we spoke then a little bit of length as far as the status of the Aron in Bayis Sheni. Machlokas in the Gemara in Yuma, was the Aron missing in Bayis Sheni? Was it there? If it was there, was it located dafka within Har HaBayis? Why the Rambam thought it had to be located in Har HaBayis? Russia Weiss thinks that fits with the Shita here. We'll see in a second. What exactly is the Gemara there writes that there were certain distinctions between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni. One of the distinctions was, says the Gemara, there were no Urim V'tumim in Bayis Sheni. The Urim V'tumim was only there in Bayis Rishon, the Urim V'tumim was not there in Bayis Sheni. The Ravid understands that Kipshuto. There was no Urim V'tumim there in Bayis Sheni. If you look, however, at the Shita of the Rambam, as well as the Shita of Tosfos, Tovos there in Yuma on Daf Chaf Aleph Amid Beis. I apologize on the sheet, but that's where the Gemara is in Yuma Chaf Aleph Amid Beis. Tovos is there in Yuma, and the Rambam is on our sheets here in Hilchos. I think it's Beis Bechira Dal Aleph, but let me just make sure it's true. Yeah, Beis Bechira Dal Aleph. The Rambam and Tovos argue. They say no. When the Gemara says there was no Urim V'tumim during Bayis Sheni, they don't actually mean that there was no Urim V'tumim. The Urim V'tumim was in Bayis Sheni. But the Gemara means that the Urim V'tumim did not work in Bayis Sheni. But for sure the Urim V'tumim were still present in Bayis Sheni. The Rambam says, why were there Urim V'tumim going to be there if it was not going to be present? So Rambam says, because there's an Isser for a Kohen Gadol to work, to avod in the Mikdash, if he is Mechusar Begadim. So he gives in the second paragraph of Masechas Svachim. If you're Mechusar Begadim, you're not allowed to perform avod in the Mikdash. Says the Rambam, if you're missing the Urim V'tumim, you are missing part of the Choshen. And therefore, says the Rambam, It's considered to be Mechusar Begadim. What's pshat in that Machlokas HaRishonim? Whether the Urim V'tumim were there but weren't working or weren't there at all. So the first pshat, the first level, which some Achronim suggest, is that we seem to have a Machlokas about the relationship between the Urim V'tumim and the Choshen. According to the Rambam, the Urim V'tumim become part of the Beged, such that if I'm missing the Urim V'tumim, I'm missing part of my bag, I'm Mechusar Begadim. According to the Ravid, that is not true, and some suggest that Rashi would agree with this, that I'm not actually missing part of the bag. The Urim V'tumim is there, but it really exists in a distinct way from the actual bag. The Choshen is the Choshen, irrespective of the Urim V'tumim. Therefore, I can miss the Urim V'tumim, but I'm still not going to be Mechusar Begadim. That's a simple pshat in that Machlokas. But some go one step further. I believe the Babich Rebbe in Likutei Sichos in volume Yud Aleph goes one step further. He points out, L'chora, this is also Rambam L'shitasa. The Rambam who holds that the Urim V'tumim are the stones, according to many Achronim, on the actual Choshen, so certainly that becomes part and parcel of the Choshen, not 100% Mukhrak, but very Mistaber. And for the Rambam who has that Chiddush, if I'm missing the stones, I'm missing part of my Shem Choshen. I'm missing part of my Beged. That's going to be called Mechusar Begadim. But if I learn, says the Babich Rebbe, if I don't learn, again, it's not Mechrach, but it's very Mistaber. If I learn that the Urim V'tumim is the piece of paper, the Urim V'tumim, the Shem and Mephorosh put inside, it is very likely that the Urim V'tumim are not really part of the Choshen. The Choshen itself is the stones on top and the actual material, the Urim V'tumim is what I stick inside. But if I'm missing the Urim V'tumim, I'm not Mechusar Begadim. I'm not missing part of my Beged. The Beged stands as is. One, two, and three. Let's go one step deeper. The Chavatzelis HaSharon suggests as follows. Benjamin Karlbach. Mordechai Karlbach? Mordechai Karlbach. No, Benjamin is for me. Okay, Chavatzelis HaSharon. I apologize, I should not mess that up. I think it's Mordechai Karlbach. Writes, has one additional sort of level, connecting it a little bit less to the actual structure, but the same along the same lines. He points out that L'chora, this machlokes between the Rambam and ends up being, okay, he talked more about the Rambam and the Ravid, but ends up being a very fundamental machlokes about the nature of the Choshen itself. The nature of the Choshen itself. According to those like the Ravid, that understand that could be missing the Urim Betumim and it's still a Beged. So in the Choshen itself, you really have two separate things. One, the Choshen is a regular Beged like the other Big Day Kahuna. Just, there's a separate din called Urim Betumim, She'ela of the Urim Betumim, which is found there also. But if I'm looking at, like I spoke about last week sometimes, the Chakira, about whether the Big Day Kahuna are really, are they all Begadim, or some of them Tachshitim, the L'chav of L'sif Aras, is that redefined Big Day Kahuna, is that a separate element? So what you find is, according to the, if I'm a Rashi person, it's a regular Beged. Just, there's something else, extra, additional, somewhat external, of She'ela and Urim V'tumim, that if I have a Shema Forest there, I can ask questions of it. However, if I learn like the Rambam, that may not be true. If I learn like the Rambam, it is possible that the Choshen is not in fact a Beged. The Choshen is not in fact a Beged. It is possible that the Choshen is really, again, it's defined by, if it's missing the Urim V'tumim, it does not have a shame choshen. You're called mechusar begadim. It is possible that if you are missing the entirety of the choshen, it's not a beged. It is a tool to use for she'ela. The choshen is something which we use if we have questions. It is not in and of itself one of the real formal kinds of begadim. In a certain sense, it's not really a standard beged at all in that way. I'll say just one thing, parentheses, then maybe Rashi Ram Lishitasa from last week. Closed parentheses. Closed parentheses. Let's chazer what we...
What would be the point of wearing the bed?
Because the choshen, if you don't wear any of the eight things, you're mechusar begadim.
The whole point is that it's not really big, it's just
shayla. No. It's still... Sorry, I just need to be a little more precise about that, just be a little more nuanced. It's certainly, when we say, is it a beged or not, it's definitely one of the eight Big Day Kohen Gadol. The question is, what is it fundamentally? What is it fundamentally? Everyone agrees I'm missing one of the begadim, I'm called mechusar begadim. The question is, what is its primary function? Certainly, I still need it to be called a beged. So even according to the Rambam, it's there for she'ela, if I'm missing part of it, it's still called mechusar begadim. The question was, what is it primarily? It's still definitely one of the begadim. No one entertains the possibility, you know what I'm saying, that you could stop and be missing one of the eight, even if they're not all formal begadim. Okay. Let me chazer what exactly we said. We tried to point out tonight two different issues as far as the choshen and the urim betumim. Number one, we're some machlokes about how exactly it is built, the same material of as the ephod. It has stones on it. There is a machlok, we just pointed out, Rashi, the Rambam, as opposed to the Ramban, as to how the stones are actually put on, how they fit on. That's not at all for us right now. But this the order of the stones, what else was written on the stones, Avim Tzikin Yaakov, Shiftei Ka, Shiftei Yeshurin, Gears of the Gemara, Mesachas Yivamos there, and in Yuma there, and Dafayin Gimel. We spoke a little bit about what the Urim Betumim were those Shema Meforash that was put inside, was instead the stones, the Chizuk Sav Kabbalah, Mekhevet HaMishnah, within the Rambam sheet there in Hochas Beis HaChira, some nafkaminas of that in terms of what the Choshen and the Urim Betumim are really all about. That is part of what we try to articulate tonight. The Babetz Rebbe there in that Sicha has another nafkamina. You need to read the Rashi Ram closely. We're not talking about this at all. I just want to just get this out there. There may be a machlokas how exactly you ask the Urim Betumim between Rashi and the Rambam. How exactly you ask, what's the question, what's the answer, where do I stand when it's being done, what am I facing? The Rebbe thinks that that's actually Tullay also on this question, is whether Shem Mephorish is there or not. That is, I'm trying to think if I should where's the Pasuk of Urim Betumim? Yeah, it's something to do with that, the Lifnei Hashem there, is it the Shem Mephorish or not? But that's there in just to be aware of. That's a little bit of a question. Exactly how it works. Describe it, guys. Have a wonderful night.
For the Rambam, how does it enter? Also, the letters light up.
Yeah, but I think for the Rambam, the question is where you're facing. I think Chazal said that you face towards like Hashem. I think the way it goes, according to the Rambam, you were facing the Aron because there is no Hashem inside the Choshen. Whereas according to Rashi, you're actually facing the Choshen.
I'm messing it up.